This program is intended for individuals who are blind or are unable to read physical print and is brought to you by CABVI's Audio Information Services team.
Hello, my Catholic Telegraph listeners. I'm so happy to be with you here today. And most of our recording today is going to focus on the Good Shepherd. But I thought I'd start off with our Holy Father's attention given to women's role in the church. So, I found an article here where Pope Francis addressed an international conference on women in the church, and he emphasized the importance of recognizing women's contributions while calling for unity and education to promote women's rights and dignity. My first plan here was to let us remind us of the Pope's prayer intention for April. And here's a quote, that the dignity and worth of women be recognized in every culture, and for an end to the discrimination they face in various parts of the world. I'll keep that in mind. So in the Pope's address to the participants of the international conference titled Women in the Church, Builders of Humanity, Pope Francis extended a warm greeting to all attendees, expressing gratitude for their presence and the organization of the event. The church needs to keep this in mind, said the Pope, because the church is herself a woman, a daughter, a bride, and a mother. He highlighted the significance of recognizing and valuing women's contributions within the people of God. And he called for unity, discernment, and collaboration to achieve this goal. The conference, which gathers individuals from all over the world, focuses on highlighting the exemplary holiness of 10 women: Josephine Baquita, Madeline de Jesu, Elizabeth Ann Seton, Mary McKillop, Laura Montoya, Katira Tekawitha, Teresa of Calcutta, and here's a name I probably won't pronounce correctly, Rafka Pietra, Chobak Areas, and Maria Beltrame Quartucci, and Dafros Makasanga. Pope Francis underscored the significance of their charitable, educational, and prayerful initiatives, which exemplify the unique reflection of God's holiness through the feminine genius. The contribution of women is more necessary than ever, emphasized Pope Francis, acknowledging the challenges of hatred, violence, and ideological conflicts in today's world. He spoke about the urgent need for women's contributions, which he said are characterized by tenderness and compassion in order to foster unity and restore humanity's true identity. On the topic of education, Pope Francis commended the collaboration between the conference and various Catholic academic institutions. Every effort to present students with testimonies of holiness, especially of feminine sanctity, can encourage them to aim higher, he said, stressing the importance of presenting role models to inspire future generations. Pope Francis concluded his address by highlighting the ongoing struggles faced by women worldwide, including violence, inequality, and injustice. He called for concerted efforts to address these issues, emphasizing the transformative power of education for girls and young women in promoting overall human development. Bringing his address to a close, Pope Francis entrusted the outcomes of the conference to the Lord and imparted his blessing upon the participants before urging continued commitments to the advancement of women's rights and dignity. There we go. And we know that presently there are active women who are advocating for more of an active role in our church. So that's a good deal. We are being spoken for, and the contributions of women are being recognized over the years. So the next article also deals with women, and I wrote down that it begins with, in a church that has yet to deal justly with women, and this is the author, I stay a keeper of the vision. So now I need to find that. What I do is I go to Google and I put into my collection on my phone these articles that I want to share with you all. So there are so many here, I guess I need to get rid of some of them. All right. I'm having trouble finding that one right now. I'll come back to it when I get my hands on it. But most of the articles that I've collected today to share with you are in regard to the Good Shepherd, which was, this past Sunday. I'm recording this on a Tuesday. So our Holy Father had some thoughts on the Good Shepherd. His thoughts are always worth sharing. So he starts by saying, well, the article was written by a Matthew Santucci, who says, Pope Francis reflected on the image of Christ as the Good Shepherd during his Regina Caeli address Sunday, noting that it is a role characterized by the Lord's sacrificial love. Quote, Jesus explains that he is not a hired man who cares nothing for the sheep, but a man who knows them, the Pope said on last Sunday, which is traditionally known as Good Shepherd Sunday because it is the theme of the day's gospel. The Pope continued, it is true, he knows us. He calls us by our name. And when we are lost, he looks for us until he finds us. I love that. Pope Francis explained that Christ's role as a shepherd introduced a new logic, observing that he is not acting as a guide or head of the flock, but instead living in symbiosis with his people. This is what the Lord wants to tell us with the image of the Good Shepherd. Not only that he is the guide, the head of the flock, but above all, that he thinks of each of us as the love of his life. The Pope said this to pilgrims gathered in St. Peter's Square. He emphasized the sacrificial component of the role of the shepherd, observing that Jesus is not just a good shepherd who shares the life of the flock, but is the good shepherd who has sacrificed his life for us and has given us his spirit through his resurrection. The Pope asked the faithful to meditate upon this sacrificial dimension of the shepherd so that we bear in mind that for Christ, I am important, irreplaceable, worth the infinite price of his life. It is not just a way of speaking, the Pope added. He truly gave his life for me. He died and rose again for me because he loves me. And he finds in me a beauty that I often do not see myself. The Pope also cautioned against the temptation to measure our value based on trivial things, such as the goals we achieve, or on whether we succeed in the eyes of the world, on the judgments of others. In order to find ourselves, the first thing we do is place ourselves in his presence, allowing ourselves to be welcomed and lifted up by the loving arms of our good shepherd, our Holy Father said. He also drew attention to Sunday's celebration of the World Day of Prayer for Vocations, which he observed as an opportunity to rediscover the church as a community characterized by a polyphony of charisms and vocations at the service of the gospel. Following the recitation of the Regina Caeli, the Pope renewed his appeal for peace in the Middle East, imploring leaders not to give in to the logic of vengeance and war, but instead to let the paths of dialogue and diplomacy prevail, which can do a lot. I pray every day for peace in Palestine and Israel, and I hope that those two peoples can soon stop suffering, he said. We have a wonderful Holy Father. We add our prayers to his, because sometimes we feel so helpless. So helpless in trying to change what's happening in our world. So prayer is important and powerful as we pray for those who are suffering so badly. Okay, from our Magnificat prayer book, I have found some wonderful articles referring to the Good Shepherd. And so I have them marked. There is a, every so often you get a Lectio Divina, which means that what we read are thoughts from those who have meditated very carefully on the gospel and have shared with us their thoughts on certain parts and certain sentences and lines from the gospel. So from the gospel, it says, I am the good shepherd. And I know mine, and mine know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I will lay down my life for the sheep. So the thoughts of this author are, Christ is not just any good shepherd. He is the good shepherd. Ordinarily, a shepherd receives wool from his sheep to clothe himself, but we, the sheep, have received a new garment from Christ the Good Shepherd. When we are baptized into Christ, just as when the prodigal son received the finest robe when he returned to his father. We are clothed in Christ when we return to our Father. A shepherd to feed himself and his family will slaughter and consume a sheep. But in the Eucharist, we the sheep consume our shepherd, who became the lamb for us. We are nourished by his flesh and his blood, not he by ours. At Passover, while other shepherds brought the finest of their lambs to offer as a sacrifice to atone for their sins, our shepherd offered himself in our place. Our shepherd laid down his life for us, his sheep, so that we might have life forever. We are poor and helpless sheep who are not used by our shepherd, but instead loved by him. Another part of that gospel, quote, "This is why the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own. I have power to lay it down and power to take it up again. This command I have received from my Father." The Son was obedient to the command he received from the Father. He became, quote, "obedient to death, even death on a cross." And like a seed, he was placed in the ground. But also like a seed, he did not remain in the ground. On the third day, he came forth from the earth and bore much fruit. This obedience was not the obedience that a servant has for his master, but the obedience that a son has for his father, an obedience rooted in love. It was the love of the son for the father that made this obedience beautiful in the eyes of the father. This love that Christ had and gave to the Father was and is more powerful than the sin and death that was brought into the world by Adam. Death could not keep love captive. Death could not separate the Father and the Son, because love is stronger than death. It is this love that lives in the Christian soul. And it is this love that prevents anything from separating us from the one who loves us. So we end with a little prayer here. Lord Jesus Christ, good shepherd of the flock, grant us the grace to hear your voice as you call us by name, so that we might enter the fold of the Father's house for all eternity. It gives me goosebumps and shivers to think of Jesus calling me by name. There are always petitions, general intercessions offered at every Mass. And at last Sunday's Mass, of course, there was a petition for the World Day of Prayer for Vocations. And it went like this: that the Lord may raise up many vocations to the priesthood and to consecrated life, especially from our own parish community. I think I've shared with you in the past how I lament that when it comes to vocations, I know we need more priests for sure. And those who choose and answer the call to consecrated life are people who have more time for prayer, I guess, than most of us. But I also believe that we should be praying for married folks, parents, families from whom these religious vocations come. Families are the domestic church. and parents as first teachers have a lot to do with guiding their children in the, and teaching in the, them in the love of the Lord. And so I often think that they are overlooked when it comes to prayer. So I pray that that connection will be made sooner than later, that families are given the the honor, the recognition, the prayer time so needed. I remember when I was in grammar school, I remember seeing on a bulletin board a triangle. And at the top, of course, was the Pope, then the cardinals and the bishops and the priests. And I guess somewhere there we had the sisters and those in consecrated life. I don't even remember if at the bottom of the triangle they even mentioned families. But I listened to a wonderful priest, Father Ron Rollheiser, who said, "I think we have it all upside down." And I sort of agree with him, too. But at any rate, we are where we are who we are. And we'll just keep recognizing our own value and support those who are overlooked and keep them in prayer. Pray for our children. Here's a lovely little essay by a Jennifer Hubbard. She is the mother of a little girl who was killed at the Sandy Hook Elementary School. I don't know how many years ago. But here's her thoughts about the Good Shepherd. "I recently had the opportunity to spend a week at a working ranch in Wyoming. Guests are immersed in the daily operations, which, when I was there, included moving cattle over the mountain. For days, we trekked through bogs, forest, and meadow, riders and ranchers leading cow and calf from familiar feeding ground to safer pasture. Along the way, something would spook the herd, making it scramble. Cows called out until their own calves responded. When the pairs finally reunited, order was restored, and a comforting hush covered cow and calf, rancher and rider. Each time it unfolded, I was captivated. As we crossed to safer ground, long stretches of space afforded me time to consider the awe of it all. I asked the rancher how the little ones knew to whom they belonged. He said softly, 'They've had all spring together. The babies know their mama's voice.' I later found an article explaining that it is the same with sheep. Over time, they learn to recognize their shepherd's voice. I realized it is the same with the Good Shepherd. All too often, when my life seems as if it spins in chaos, I experience panic and doubt. I take my Lord's seeming silence as abandonment. And yet, when I call to him, he finds me, his one out of 99. My shepherd knows my voice and clearly hears my call, because he is keeping watch. His love is unchanging, his protection without fault. With each call and each response, He attunes my ear more deeply to his voice. And that article reminded me that years ago at our parish, there was a young priest who gave a very short homily. He had been meditating on the gospel all week long, and the gospel story involved Adam and Eve sinning in the Garden of Eden, choosing to disobey God, and then hiding. Hiding. We know the story. So this young priest offered the thought and the fact that God, who loved Adam and Eve so deeply, went and found them. He didn't abandon them. He didn't say, well, that's it. Out of love, he went and found them. So we are never lost, our good shepherd. Never. We're never abandoned. And we pray for all those who think they're lost, who think they're hiding from the Lord. But out of love, he will find them as he finds us. And we are so grateful. I thank all the wonderful, deeply spiritual people who have written what they've written so that we can share and learn and grow and love in their wisdom and their own holiness. God bless each and every one of you until I'm back again. Mary Ann New from St. Margaret of York.